Nowadays, there's so many monks in our temple. This year, there's many monks who come and live here. We cannot ordain it ourselves. We have no preceptor to ordain the monk. There are many applicants, much more than the number of kuti or cottage. I need to consider, I have a criteria. If for ordaining for 1 month, that's easy. But for a longer duration, I need to consider the personality. When the personality, we can pretend to be good for 1 month, but to be for a long term, their true personality will arise. Some can create problems with others. Some people are good, but good on their own, but bad for others. They are not good for the community. I won't choose that type of person. Some those who use a lot of mobile phone, it's difficult to meditate. A few days ago, there's some monk who come here and use Facebook, and I found this monk like to play Facebook, so I criticized him. So he confessed he need to post on Facebook frequently. Do you want friends or do you want the enlightenment? You need to choose. If you want enlightenment, you need to be serious, to learn more on yourself, not to engage with other people. For me, my habit, I don't engage with a lot of people. I have friends. After I graduate from university, I never once go to the alumni. Those alumni meeting is pointless. They drink alcohol or chat, chit-chat, but there's no use to those kind of event. So I never go to those meeting. One day is a lot of time. If you talk a lot with people, it will affect other days. So I'm serious with my meditation, to be honest with the meditation. So when I work, in my work, I need to use a lot of thought thinking. After work, I try not to think or to work too much. If I'm too stressed, I'm too hard to engage with the work, I may read some comics, some light-hearted comic. I read those jokes, those comics. Afterward, I just sleep. When I wake up, my mind is light. I start meditating instantly. When my mind is strong, I can meditate. During each different time in the day, whenever you have strength in your mind, you can use that for meditate. Don't waste the time. I observe myself at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 p.m. It's very good time. It's a time like you end your work, you end your study. We are relaxed. It's easier to observe yourself, to study yourself. Normally our work day end at 4, half past 4. So at 4 o'clock it's easy, it's relaxed. I don't waste those time. I meditate. I practice awareness. When I return home, I take a bath and then rest a bit from my day's work. When my body and my is stronger again, I start meditate again. I'm good at meditating at 4 o'clock and in the evening and at night also. Like 1 o'clock at midnight or 1 o'clock. So I use those time for meditation. So for you, you need to observe yourself what time is proper to your meditation. I can practice and achieve result in the afternoon, late afternoon. But at the early afternoon, that's bad for me. It's time for rest. At 1 o'clock, in the afternoon, is bad because you just finished your lunch. You are sleepy. It's hard to talk at that time. The audience are too sleepy. I cannot fight the atmosphere like that. Like thousands of people, it takes a lot of energy to motivate them. So if I can choose, I will talk in the morning for you. You are just wake up, so you are still alert and energized. So the best time for you is just right after waking up. If you notice there's difference between the first session and this second session, the first session is more refined. I used to talk at 9 o'clock, and at that time it's so difficult to teach. At the second session at 9 o'clock, people want more story, want more entertainment. Do you feel it? Do you feel the difference in your mind that they are changing from time to time? The readiness to practice are different. It differs from person to person. So after meal is difficult to meditate. Your blood is at your stomach, not at your head. So your head will be somewhat empty after meal. Observe yourself. Notice it in yourself. What time is good for meditation? For many of you, your age are the working age that you need to invest time and energy to work. But meditation is not the obstacle to working. Meditation and working can go together as long as you have an honest living. If you are a merchant or a seller, you can meditate all day. On the other hand, if you are a programmer, it's difficult because you need to engage in the thought in your programming. But they get a lot of money, very high salary. So they need to make the trade-off. But for like a merchant who doesn't gain a lot of money, but they have a better chance to meditate. I used to visit and used to see a female merchant who sell vegetable in Surin, and her mind is so bright. the vegetable is can be fresh or not fresh, but her mind is very bright. That's very profitable in her life. Profit in life, not profit in money. So you need to live reasonably and practice awareness in your day life as much as possible. This is your true duty, true task in your life that will contribute to your life for a long, long time, not just finding money. You need to have some money so you have security in life, but your true mission is not that to find money, but instead you need to meditate. That's more meaningful to you. You don't need to get rich, but only to have a happy life. Some rich people are not happy. So Steve Jobs, he lived a good life. He practiced a Zen lifestyle. Steve Jobs has a few children, but he won't allow his own children to use iPad or iPhone. So he let them learn history or art to develop their mind. Only that he's not reached the real enlightenment yet. Smart people like this are few. Those who know that what is very meaningful to their life. Many other rich people are not happy. Although they have a lot of wealth, they are poor because their mind is always hungry to get more. So in this sense, they are poor, always wanting more. But if you are content with what you have, you are already rich. If you know that what is truly meaningful, truly valuable in your life, and what is just requisite to living, those wealth is not the ultimate goal of your life. So you are working only to sustain your life. But the goal and the meaning of life is actually in meditation. So you need to live each day in the most meaningful way. Be mindful, be aware of your body and mind. See it, process. To be aware of your body is not difficult. Do you feel that you are sitting? Your body is now sitting. Can you feel it? Do you need to think how to sit? You are already sitting. If you are not aware, that's strange. Smile. Do you see you're smiling? Nod your head. Do you see the head is nodding? You can see it's nodding. There's nothing to do, just be aware. There's no 1, 2, 3. You just be aware of it. Who's laughing? Be aware of the body is easy, as easy as this. You can do it, everyone can do it. Do you see breathing out, breathing in and breathing out? Can you feel it? Only that you ignore or you neglect to notice. Everyone can do it, but you neglect. You just forget that is important. So happiness and unhappiness, you can feel it. You don't need to think about that. You can know that whether you are happy or unhappy. To be aware in the moment, in the present, that's not hard. The mind is happy or unhappy, you can know it. If you're focusing on the object that makes you happy, you forget that you're happy. Your intention jump to the object that makes you happy or made you angry. So to be aware of your body and mind is not difficult. Everyone can do it. The reason why you haven't enlightened yet is because you ignore, you neglect this, your own body and mind. If you observe or notice them, you see that it's always oppressed by suffering. This body is just a mess, just a physical mess. Something come in and something go out. It's just a physical element. And the mind is just impermanent. It can be happy or unhappy. It can go to the eye, go to the ear, go to the body, go to the tongue, go to thinking. This consciousness, this mind going on different direction, is impermanent. We cannot control the mind. We cannot control it to always happy, to control it not to be sad. You cannot stop it. It can be angry, it can be deluded, it can be forgetful. You cannot force it. This is called non-self. When you are not be aware of your body, it's easy to see suffering and see the non-self that is just an element. For observing the mind, it's easy to see impermanent and non-self. The mind is always changing from this feeling to this emotion, so you can see impermanence. For the body, it's difficult to see impermanence because your body doesn't change that much, but your mind changes much more frequently. When everything contact with your eye, with your ear, you hear something, you feel something, is your mind is always changing, so you can see impermanence. You can think of some people and be happy, think of another people and be sad. Your mind is always changing and impermanent. And the reason that it's changed by on itself, changed on its own, this is called non-self. Your body, sometimes you feel itself because you can tell it to move. So to see non-self in the body, you need to see that the body is just an element, it's just a physical mass. To see non-self in the mind, you need to see that you cannot control the mind. You cannot make it always happy or always sad, or not to be sad. You cannot control the mind. The mind is not intangible, it's immaterial, it's not like the body. To be aware of body and mind is not difficult. If you don't neglect to observe, you can always see your body and mind. You will see this body is just a physical mass, that something that you borrow, that one day you need to return to the world. And the mind is something that's always changing all the time, not under your control. When you see the truth of your body and mind, your mind will be disenchanted, disillusioned with the mind. Your mind will let go more from the body and mind. After letting go, the mind will be liberated, and eventually it will be enlightened. And at the end, it will just cast off, drop off your attachment to the body and mind. If someone study the scripture, study the book about Dhamma, they can know this too, but they know only the name. They don't know the true nature of this Dhamma. Like you, for example, you read book about bird watching. Watching in the book and watching in the bird in nature is different. The size, the sound is different. You cannot study bird from just the book. You need to go and bird watching in the nature to observe bird. You can see the bird, although you don't know its name, you learn the nature of that bird, that the bird has this and this behavior. If you go into the forest and then you meet one bird, a very beautiful bird named Gorokoso bird. This mean ugly in Thai language, Gorokoso. So you name this bird by yourself. You know the bird from your experience. It's the same with meditation. In meditation, you see the phenomena, the feeling, the emotion, the real nature without the name. After you have understand enough in your practice, you can go back and study the book, the scripture in the book. When you learn the scripture, you will have the correct name of this phenomena. So different school of Buddhism, they have different name for enlightenment. So Long Ta Bua may use the word Dhamma Thad or nature element. Another master may call heart or one mind or just different names. So you need the scripture to have the standard terminology. So this scripture system is useful. So we can have the same agreement on what name we should use for each phenomena. So each must support each other for theory and practice of Buddhism. Some ask, oh, be self-aware, aware of your body. And some might ask, what is the self, what is the body? Those who question like this are difficult to meditate. You see that you're smiling, you're laughing. How difficult is it to meditate? Okay, let's submit your homework. You focus too much on your concentration. You are still controlling your mind. When you observe your breath, you're already breathing. You're breathing all the time. So to correct practice, you don't change your mind at all. You don't act and give a different posture. You just be aware at the moment. When you change your posture, you are controlling your body, then you are likely to control your mind as well. These two people, your mind are unnatural. It's too stiff. It's unnatural. So don't sit too long. Because when you meditate wrongly in your sitting, it will be wrong for a long time. Just observe the changing in your mind. Sometimes your mind is comfortable, sometimes it's too stiff, sometimes it's broad, sometimes it's too tense. You gain wisdom from observing. Who's necessary? We need to ask. When will you stop asking? I depend on my master only 7 times in my life. So I asked him less than 7 times in my life. It's my first time submitting homework. I listened for many years and I understand from listening. Understand from the questions of others. Today, I come to submit homework because my mind is different. I practice during my driving. My mind sometimes too much over-focusing. So I must chant Buddha, Buddha. When I change gear, my foot on the crutch on the brake, I be aware of my body, and I chant Buddha, Buddha, and I be aware. So this knowledge, I don't know whether the knowledge is real understanding or just in the brain. When you truly understand with wisdom, the mind is brightened, is happy. It's like concentration when there's some lightness in the mind. If the knowledge enter your brain, it will be heavy. You need to control the knowledge. So if it enter your heart, you just let it bring it to observe the truth, and your heart will learn by itself. Don't think too much. Now you are thinking too much. You are curious. Just be aware of the curiosity. If you investigate looking for answers, that's just a wandering mind. Don't fall to the trap. When there is a curiosity, just be aware of it. The curiosity will drop off. Everything will drop off. Whatever come up will drop. In our meditation, we only want to see that everything that come up will fall away. You see that your mind just switch to other direction. Be aware. Do you see the mind want to talk? You want to talk. There's a urge in your chest to ask question. There is the craving to ask. Be aware of this phenomena. Don't think too much. Don't question. Just observe what's coming up. You want to ask, see the wanting to ask. The wanting will drop off. Everything that come up will fall away. We only want to see this truth that everything come up and go away. The breadth of knowledge is not very useful for your own. To know into detail of everything, that's not useful to yourself yet. To see and to know, is it the same? The right word to use is to see. Sometimes I use to know. Actually, it's to see. The word vipassana means insight. Insight means to see. Passa means seeing. Na means in, the action of seeing. Vipassana is the special seeing. This is to see the three characteristics of impermanent, suffering, and non-self. So vipassana or insight, it see the truth of the body and mind. So the knowing mind is actually the seeing mind, the one who see. I have my father with me today. Please give advice to him. He's still over-focusing. Let him observe. He's still too much control. Just be aware that you are controlling. Greeting. The one who sits close to me, the mic went off. Let me look at your face first. I meditate in the morning and in the evening. I see that this year there's a lot of greed. I want to submit homework. I come to ask your advice and homework. Be aware of your mind. When your mind go and cling to things, cling to thought, cling to idea, it can cling to immaterial things. Or your mind is happy, unhappy, good or bad, be aware. Just know whatever come up in your mind. You only need to look, to observe, to notice whatever arise. Your mind is wandering now. We are not stop. We don't try to stop it. It can be anything. We just be aware. As it really is, it go off to think occasionally. Do you see it? It go off to think. If you cannot see it, observe your body. You see you are standing, you are speaking, whatever the mind, whatever the body is doing, be aware. For you, it's easier to observe your body. So observe more of your body. The masters in the past, most of them practice mainly on awareness of the body. The body stand, sit, and sleep, eat, or taking a bath. Just know whatever the body is doing. I practiced in your style for 2 years. I feel the suffering is one part, my body is one part, and my mind is another part. I am still doubtful what about the deluded mind. What my mind is bright and broad. Do you observe that when you return back to your normal life, do you feel that your body, your mind is still you? Do you see that it's still you inside? Do you feel that's you inside? If as long as there's you inside, you are not enlightened yet, not enlightened yet. You see, that's your feeling of self within the right the self view is still there. As long as that's the feeling of self within is still not enlightenment yet. Your problem is you have too much wisdom. You are too intelligent. You are too clever. Your mind cannot see the phenomena yet. I have listened. You see, your mind are different from before. What do you need? What question do you need to ask? You don't need to ask anything. I listen to CD, and there are many people who ask the same question I want to ask. I have a restless mind, so I listen to CD all the time, even before sleep. I sleep and open, listen to the Dhamma until sleep. Is it proper to sleep while? You can think that you turn on the CD for the spiritual being to listen to it. You don't need to listen on yourself. So the teaching that you should think about good thing of your merit that you have done in your past. If I think of this and think of that, it is too restless mind. If you think and without awareness, that's scattering, that's the wandering mind. If you think and then you are aware of your thinking, that's beneficial. You have the mindful mind. That's another merit. Yes, you can practice like that. Number 32. It's like 4 years from my last submission of my homework. Last time, Long Pa advised me to walk meditate. So in the morning, I chant in the morning and chant in the evening. After the evening chanting, I will sit for 5 to 10 minutes every day. Is it good? Good. Yes, it's good. Your mind improved from before. Can you see it? Keep practicing. Your mind will be cleaner, brighter, lighter, and more relaxed. And you can be aware of whatever defilement come up. When the impurity drop off, you'll be more comfortable. When it come up again, just be aware of whatever come up. If there's nothing to see, you can observe your body. Your body is always changing. You are no longer young. You are getting older. And then you can be more detached. from your body. In the past, I went to your province, Korat, every month. Number 36. Lompa Put is great. 30 years ago, he taught different from other masters, so people mistake him. He liked to teach that you should be aware when you are walking, sitting, sleeping. This is actually a great teaching. Last time when I submit homework, you told me to use my chai as meditation. Are you still hitting your chai? When I try to use him as meditation, he became very hard, very naughty. So it's difficult. I try to observe my interaction with him. Sometimes it's good, but sometimes it's very, very stressful. It's natural. Your meditation will progress and decline. Your meditation will improve and degrade. That's natural. Even though you practice the same way every day, the result, the outcome can be different. Even though you take care of your chai the same way, he can behave still differently each day. It's the same with meditation. Even you give the same input, the same attention to meditate, but the result can vary. And keep practicing with your chai. So I'm helping both you and your chai. Yeah, that's wisdom that you can see is improving and degrading. Can you see that it's impermanent? That is not under your control. This is impermanent. This is non-self. So keep taking care of your chai. But don't have too many children. If you have too many children, it's difficult to meditate. I see change in my meditation. The world become more distant. The suffering is lessened. You don't need to explain inward. Just be aware that whatever come up, what kind of feeling coming up, they are just for temporary. They come up and they fall away. Yes, your meditation is still on track. Your power, your energy is not enough. Your mind is not strong enough. So you need some formal method, some formal practice, like breathing. Thank you. Otherwise, you are not energized. You need energy. So practice samatha to gain energy. Number 30, the last one. Do you see that when I say the last one, you are happy? It's the last one. In the morning, you want to come to listen to me. Actually, your brain cannot take in longer than 45 minutes. So now it's already 45 minutes, the limit of your brain to take in new information. So you cannot take more than this, otherwise you get irritated. So the last one. So I try to observe my feeling each day, each time, that the feeling, it's feeling like too tense, too sad, and these kind of feelings. So most of the feelings are unhappiness, just different type of unhappiness. I just, what kind of unhappiness will come up today? So on the next day, what different type of suffering will come up? So in your early practice, you need to see that each day are different. When you can observe in more detail, you see that on the same day, at different time, you see that they are different. If you can see that, you can see further that every moment is always changing from moment to moment. The feeling change all the time from moment to moment. You see more and more in detail. At first, you will see the difference from day to day. It's better than from year to year, but it's not enough. So you see from day to day or from time to time in the same day that the feeling are different. And after, eventually you will see that every moment, from moment to moment, the mind change, always changing from moment to moment. Now you are practicing well, practicing good enough to see the change, the difference from moment to moment. We don't practice to make it constant, to make it good all the time. We practice only to see that everything is always changing, that everything is impermanent. So it's right that the morning and the afternoon and the evening are different. So I feel that the happiness from eating is lessened, not so happy in eating. And to go and tour, it's not happy. To watch TV and listen to music, it's not so happy. This world is not true happiness. The world is happiness only for the forgetful, for the ignorant people. If you are wisdom mature, you will let go of the world, and then you will meet true happiness in the understanding. Those happiness, just the happiness of the ignorant. The Buddha said this world, this body and mind is suffering. It's actually suffering. But those deluded people see it as happy. When you meditate and see more of the truth, you see that it's not happy, it's suffering. And your mind will gradually letting go more and more. And it will be the happiness of letting go, happiness of liberation. And you will see that the old kind of happiness is just so small, just not good at all. You mistake my teaching. I didn't say that the letting go, the boredom in the disenchanted mean that it's neutral, it's more equanimous, everything is equal, and it is not attached at anything. It's not that kind of boredom. Your meditation is correct now. It's so tasteless. The Buddha said, bhikkhu, monks, come to look at this world that is elaborate, like the chariot of the king. This world look elaborate, look special, only for the fool. Come and look at this elaborate world, like a chariot. Those fools are attached to this world, but the wise are not attached to them. The wise see the truth that is not true happiness. So your mind will be letting go and detach to the world, from the world. The meditation is good. I will teach you one tip, one trick. Observe your irritation. Your irritation slip in. So keep watching, keep notice whenever irritation come up in your heart. Be aware of it. Okay, that's the end. You can go home now.